Today, on Commitment to Truth.
Tough times come. Good times happen. It's a part of life. Don't shrink in your responsibility. No matter the season of life, what do we think happens within the body of Christ? Is if there's not this inherent responsibility that this is my home. These are my people. What's my responsibility? What is that thing that I'm to assume that I can never shrink back from? We got to keep doing the work. Everyone's relying upon each other.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This week, we'll continue a sermon series titled, Your Good Works, a work especially prepared by God. In this series, our pastoral team will encourage the body of Christ to understand that there are good works God has prepared for them, while creating the space for those who respond to confidently walk in them. Here is Pastor Cedric, lead pastor of Commitment Church, with today's message.
So today is the final part of this series we've entitled for you, Your Good Works. And in this series, we've been understanding that there are good works that God has prepared for each one of us when we have put our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that the church is responsible to create space for you so that you may be able to apply those works within the body of Christ for a greater kingdom work. And as was mentioned throughout this series, when you put your faith and trust in Christ, he immediately gave you good works that he prepared beforehand, before you even knew of him, before you even desired him, before you even pursued him, and even understood that he was actively pursuing you. And which then, being a part of this ecclesia, we've been learning, this church, the church that represents him on this side of heaven, is where we have the opportunity to kind of put these good works into play. The supernatural works that he's given each one of us to simply submit to him and allow his spirit to use us in very creative ways that only he could accomplish through his power and wisdom alone. These good works should bring life to the local church. It should be understood that it's required of us. In other words, everyone, again, has been assigned something to do, and it is required of us to be able to put those things in action, again, to advance the kingdom of God and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying, dark world. And listen, this is one thing I want to reemphasize in the series that we learned, is that these things that God has called you to do is only for you to do. You follow me? In other words, there's certain things that I would never, ever be able to do, but you can do it. There's things that I can do that you will never, ever be able to do, but therefore there has to be this understanding of this and this urgency in this, that God has given it for you and only you to do, and you're required to do it. And truth be told, you will be judged by a holy God if you do not do it. Not the pastor, but when you die and you stand before the bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, you will be judged. Your works will be judged. And I think that is important for all of us to really understand, is that sometimes there's a bit of complacency, right? It's like, I'll get to that, God. But you and I would never know when he will say to you, welcome home. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, you don't know. It doesn't mean that you have to wait till you get to your parents' age or your grandparents' age. He can call your number today on the way out of this building. So there has to be this urgency in our souls that says, I must make the most of the time that which I have on the face of this earth, and I need to kick it in gear and do it quickly, because time is of the essence. Amen? So in this series, we've been identifying and affirming about five truths. The first is this, is again, that you are created for these good works. And these good works can only be found and done within this, the ecclesia. And I think I mentioned in this series that please understand that you have space here to do it. You have space here to do it. Even if it's already being done, you just add to it. Or if it's not being done, you birth it. Okay, you be the pioneer of it. You have space here. Then we also identify that it's Christ you serve. Even though we reap the benefits of it, one another, and the community that we serve reap the benefit of it, at the end of the day, it's Christ and Christ alone that we serve. And then we've recognized that when we're serving, it's also to our benefit, right? That is more blessed to give than it is to what? Receive. When we give, we receive, uniquely enough. But we don't do it to receive, but it's just a wonderful byproduct that God has so graciously given us to, as we serve and we use these giftedness and these do these good works, somehow good returns to us in some unique fashion. And then lastly, what we've started the last couple of weeks and we're going to end today is that your good works are one of the greatest expressions of your love for Christ. Just want to, right? If you're married today, try to show up home and don't do good works. You follow what I'm saying? You know, she will tell you right away, you know, something will ooze out of hers to say, do you really love me? And the same is true with him, right? Do you really love me? And it is a measurement as it relates to, are you serving me? Are you doing good towards me, for me, for the family? You follow me? It's no different than the one who gave it all for you. Remember we said this when we started dissecting and drilling down into the expression of love for Christ. Love sent Christ to do the greatest work that will ever be done, to rescue mankind. Love sent him to the cross. Love kept him on the cross. Love resurrected him. And love says he's coming back. So at the end of the day, here's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who should be our example, our perfect example, our greatest expression of love. He has laid a roadmap that simply says, listen, at the end of the day, the reason why I came was because I loved you even before you even thought about loving me. So therefore, when we do good works, when we serve in a local church, and we serve communities, it's not about what they do or don't do, what they receive and don't receive, what people accept or don't accept, if people respond or don't respond, right? It's about following the model of the person of Jesus Christ who gave it all to people who wanted nothing to do with them. Makes sense? And that's why if you open your books to the book of Galatians, Paul was echoing this to the church and simply just saying, listen, you need to understand is that doing good works or fulfilling the law does not justify you. It's not going to make you a better person. But because you've been made a better person through the finished work of Jesus Christ, you then do good works, right? In other words, if you are trying to fulfill the law, because Christ came to also fulfill the law, he didn't abolish it, right? If you are trying to do what's right, or if you want to serve within the local church, it must always be accomplished through love. And you may say again, why? If your pure motive, or if your motive is not purely love, chances are someone's going to disappoint you. And you're going to leave the race. You have disruption in your life. Remember, we talked about that. It's going to come. The very sinful, instinctive things to do is to bail out on a race. Stop serving, stop giving, right? Stop pouring into others just because now things are so urgent in my life. Wasn't it urgent in Christ's life? Love keeps us there. Keeps it pure. Keeps it sincere. Keeps you motivated. That's just the power of the supernatural love of Jesus manifesting himself in the life of his people. I get up when I don't want to. I show up when I don't feel like it. I give when I have nothing else to give. That's what love does. And that's why if you look at Galatians 5:13, there was two foundational words. The word love, or agapeu. Remember, we defined it this way. God doing what he knows is best for man, not necessarily what man desires, nor what man wanted, but what God knew man needed. Mankind didn't know they needed rescuing. I know I didn't know I needed saving, but God did. He gave me exactly what I needed before I even knew I needed. But then the second word we looked at was the word serve. It simply says doing what the occasion demands. And that's just what love does, man. It shows up and says, you know what, I'm locking in and I'm doing whatever the occasion demands right now. So we've then landed on this, again, that our pure motivation for serving should ultimately be this. You know what, God? I just want to do for others and give others what they need before they even know they need it. They don't even have to ask me. I just do it. And then secondly, I serve whatever the occasion demands. Right? Remember, I share with you, as a pastor and an elder of the church, I have a responsibility. If the occasion demands that there's paper, trash, things out of order, I don't just walk by it. The occasion demands me to empty the trash. When one becomes a leader in a church, you don't say, I stop emptying trash and cleaning toilets and serving people and visiting people and doing the grunt work, if you would, in the body of Christ. It's ridiculous. You do whatever the occasion demands. And that's why we've identified about 8 principles, if you would, when it comes to how doing good works within the church should look and how they should be expressed. And let me give you a quick review just for the sake of time. We identified in chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, is that our works should never destroy. When people come to the body of Christ, they may come in hurting, they should leave healed. The second is found in chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, is your works and my works should always be spirit-led, not motivated by our emotions, right? Because many times our emotions will cause us to do things, right? But our emotions won't keep us there because our emotions go up and down, up and down, up and down, right? Depending on situations and contexts relationally. So there must be spirit-led. Am I doing what the Spirit of God is telling me to do? Not what I feel like doing, but am I doing exactly what the Spirit of God is telling me to do? Then chapter 6, verse 1, we've identified that your work should lovingly restore, right? That should be, we're in the restorative business, if you would, that people, should come and they should be restoring and setting right what the enemy is trying to destroy and decay in people's lives. It should always be supportive, right? In other words, there's a come a point in your life that you will need someone to bear your burden, your load, right? Everyone's going to hit a speed bump in their lives. And there's going to be this need to bear each other and support each other. So therefore, support while you have strength, while you're the strong one. Because one day you may be the weak one and you're going to need someone to do what? Support you. Makes sense. And then number five, we've identified in chapter 6, verses 3 through 4, is your works should seek to avoid pride. It shouldn't be something that puffs us up, right? But in other words, it should in turn make Christ known and make him more visible, not ourselves. Make sense? And then we go to our sixth point, which you could turn again, look in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 5. It says this: "For each one will bear his own load." Pretty short and simple. There is this responsibility for each one of us within the body of Christ to bear a responsible load. Here's a simple example. If you have a child, that boy or girl is an infant. They have no capabilities right now in the moment to bear any load. You're fully invested and fully responsible as parents, right, to care for that child. But the older that child gets, what should then begin to happen? That child should begin to bear a responsible load in the household. And it may simply be, "Son, I need you to start taking out the trash." It used to be fun and cute when you used to help me take out trash, but now it's your job. Right? Right. Remember, I don't know about you, I remember when Josh was little. "Daddy, can I help you cut the grass? Daddy, can I help you cut the grass? Daddy, can I help you cut the grass?" When it became his job, "Well, why do I have to always cut the grass?" Right? So we're like that. But the same is true in the body of Christ. Yes, there'll be a season you come in, and all you're doing is taking, receiving. But it comes a time in a follower of Jesus Christ, like within the body of Christ, you have to begin to bear responsible load. It is just what should happen. And that's why if you look at verse 5, is that it says, "For each one will bear his own load," which says there's a load assigned to you. The word load means this. This is from the Greek word, which is called fortion. It's spelled almost like portion with an H, fortion, which simply means this: a responsibility, or to assume responsibility of life. Don't shrink in your responsibility. Tough times come. Good times happen. It's a part of life. Don't shrink in your responsibility. No matter the season of life. Again, we get it intellectually. We get it even emotionally because, again, all of us have a responsibility if you have a household, right? There's household responsibilities, correct? Like keep the lights on, pay mortgage, pay rent. If you don't pay mortgage, if you don't pay rent, chances are there's consequences, right? So there has to be this inclination in an adult's mind that, okay, I don't feel like it. I'm even feeling like I'm coming down with a cold. But I know if I don't show up to work, there are, right, consequences that starts reverberating. That I don't show up to work, potentially, okay, now I'm less 6 days, and I can't keep saying I'm sick, because eventually it's going to do what? Jeopardize my employment. Jeopardize my employment means that what? Lights get cut off. What do we think happens within the body of Christ? It's really that practical. Is if there's not this inherent responsibility that this is my home. These are my people. What's my responsibility? It's really that practical, church. What is my responsibility? What is that thing that I am to assume that I can never shrink back from? Because we got to keep the lights on. We got to keep doing the work. Everyone's relying upon each other. I get it. Hard day. I get it. You're not feeling well. Remember, I always try to share with you, I'm human. You really think there's days I just want to, like, listen, can I be honest with you? I think I pushed the snooze button 4 times this morning. I mean, Mark can tell you, Mark beat me in this morning, because normally I'm the first one in, because I pushed the snooze button 4 times. And you know, on your iPhone, you can set whatever, right? I think mine is set at 9 minutes, which is weird. I don't know why. Maybe because I don't know how to fix it. So do the math. 9 times 4. Because I was tired. It happens to all of us, but you just grind it out and say, you know what? I got to show up. I got to be present. I would love to keep sleeping. I sure would love to skip church today. But I don't have the privilege. Maybe I should try that one day and be like, hey, where's the pastor? Y'all all freak out. He was like, wait a minute. Second song, third song, fourth song. It's like, where's he at? Oh, boy. So, you know, hopefully you understand what I'm saying. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 through 16 describes the results of each person bearing his own load. It says, and he gave some apostles. Remember, and listen to the word, some. Because not all are what? Apostles. Some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, some as teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building of the body of Christ. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature belonging to the fullness of Christ. And listen to what it says in verse 14. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body is being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. So again, it's not, I won't do it like you. You won't do it like me. We won't do it. You follow me? But it's how every joint should supply. It says, causing the growth of the body for the building up itself in love. You see, the beauty of the good work that God has called us to do is that it clearly expresses the love of Christ, but it is also willing to bear its responsible load. Show up. Be present. Do something. Do something until you figure out what's that real thing or that, you know, that long-term thing you should do. My first assignment in the church, you know what it was? Our church didn't have a building. We used to have to call the church office to find out where we were going to meet every Sunday morning. The whole church called in. I went to the church office, loaded all the sound equipment up in our trailer. Me and a couple of guys drove it to the hotel, unpacked it all. The hotel didn't even lay the chairs out for us. We had to set the chairs up, set the sound system up. And that was my first ministry. And you know what I also had to do? I had 2 young children at home. At that time, Joshua was probably 2 years old. Jessica was probably a newborn. And you know what I had to do? Go set up, go back to get my family. I used to prepare all the diaper bags, prepare all the kids and get them dressed, sit on the couch and wait for Lisa. And then drive all the way back to where I was to go to church. It was my responsibility. And I didn't even have a clue that I was going to become a pastor. I was just a person in the pew serving God. Your work should also benefit your teacher, strange enough. It says this in verse 6. The one who has taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. In other words, you should be bringing apples to church, you know, to put it on the teacher's desk. But it's interesting that it says this because I have to be honest with you. I remember early on in my pastoralship, I used to get really, really frustrated with people. Like, didn't you just hear the message? Like, why are you still acting that way? But eventually I realized y'all don't belong to me. Y'all belong to him. And I'm just another sheep among the sheep following the good shepherd. So it doesn't upset me, you know, anymore. It's just like, hey, in the fullness of time, they'll get it. Let me just be faithful. But I can see how this is a benefit to the church. And some of you who have the privilege to teach, and let's say even in the public school setting or any form of teaching on your job, with your fellow employees, are people you just have the privilege to influence. If you spend hours with them, and you don't see a result, you don't even give a thank you, how much more endurance does that person have to continue to give and give and just give out and pour out and sacrifice? And there's no like, hey, how can I serve you? So I could see the value in this, right? So that being said, your work should benefit your teacher. In other words, there should be this spirit-ledness that says, how then can I also reciprocate? Right? How can I reciprocate in some unique way? So therefore, this word good things means this: share useful, pleasant, joyful things. It's almost like saying, don't let your time be with this teacher only about negative stuff. It also means this: share excellent and distinguished things. So there's value of some kind in that. But as a teacher, can I tell you the most beneficial thing that you can give a teacher? Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they may do this with joy, not groaning, for this would be helpful for you. Best thing you can ever give a teacher. Let them enjoy teaching you because you respond to what they say. So your good works should somehow uniquely benefit those who teach you. Amen? Lastly for today, you find in chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, it says this: do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap destruction from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let's not become discouraged in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not become weary. This is very fitting to end with, right? When it comes to, you know, how we should serve and do good works in love, is that at the end of the day, if we stay with it, stick with it, you're going to reap a harvest. Now, how does that look? It's up to the Lord, right? I don't know what harvest that each individual in this room and those who will listen to this later would need. But at the end of the day, there is this precious and magnificent promise, is that if you just stick with it, if you just stick with it, there's a harvest coming. So it says, don't be then deceived. In other words, God's not marked. So whatever you sow, this is what you will also reap. So let's say you sow nothing. So thus the importance of what? Bearing your responsibility. You know, the beautiful part of bearing a responsibility, you know what it does? It matures you rapidly. Again, you use your own household. If your child has no responsibility, your child stays a child. They may grow up physically, but they will have childlike tendencies. And that is very true with adults, is that if they were pampered, if you had special privileges in the home from their parents, chances are they will grow up as adults and remain spoiled brats. But if a child, even on the contrary, you have, maybe this fits your description, that maybe you have to grow up quickly. Right? Too quickly. You grow up too quickly, even in the body of Christ, and understand what I mean, too quickly. In other words, you were forced to do things because the environment wasn't healthy enough for you to grow at that healthy maturation pace, right? Typically, people who take that route can become super independent, self-sufficient, and full of themselves. Right? You know, independent, I don't want to work for anyone, I want to do it my way, I have all of my ideas are correct and right, and because I had to do it all myself, right? I sought the counsel of one. And that's not the essence of the body of Christ. In a multitude of counsel, there's what? Safety. Make sense? Not the counsel of one person, the multitude of counsel. So again, the challenge is what you sow is what you're going to reap. The word reap means this, is either to reap a harvest or be cut off or destroyed. It's either or. But the beauty of it is in due time, in due season, if you continue to do what's right. At this appointed time, this fixed time that is only fixed by the master. No one knows. And to me, that's the beautiful tension that is, I think, required of us. Because think about this. Let's say you knew that, okay, if I keep bearing a load, keep doing good, and you know, in the Bible it says in the sixth month. Right? In the sixth month, God says, I'm going to reap. He says, no, in due time, which simply means it says there's an appointed time that only he has appointed, right? There's a fixed and definite time or season, and there's a limited amount of time. And he's the only one that knows. So the beauty in that is that it should keep us in the game, faithfully serving in love, not waiting and watching the calendar or the clock for God to give me something. Make sense? That in the fullness of time, but what he does says, don't go weary. Because it's very easy to grow weary. The words grow weary means this. If you don't grow exhausted, if you don't cease to be able, don't grow exhausted, which says there's pace that's necessary. But don't get to a point that you're like, you know what? I'm just not going to do this no more. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, gives us tremendous hope and help how not to grow weary. It says, therefore, since we have such a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Remember, this is the hall of faith that preceded this. Let's rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us. So as we're doing good, we're getting rid of what? Sin and those things that entangles us. Amen. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And the only way you're going to be able to run with endurance, verse 2 says, looking only at Jesus. You can't look at the enemy. You can't look at your opponents. You can't look at anyone else in the lane. Look at Jesus, the originator and the perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. Don't consider your neighbor. Don't consider, right, what your husband or your wife or your family is thinking. Consider him. And that sounds harsh, but it's not. Because when we look at the faces of people around us that we love, you find great discouragement. If they're not smiling and affirming you. And there's times this race is hard and people around you will not smile for you and they will not affirm you. There'll be people questioning you, why are you still married to that person? They'll question, why are you still working for that person and you're underpaid? And they will question you, and they'll question you, and they won't affirm you. But if God is saying, no, don't quit, you can't look at the faces of people around you. You just can't. Consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Why? So that you would not grow weary and lose heart. So if you can flip that coin over and be able to say, if I don't get rid of sin, if I don't only look at Jesus, if I don't only consider him, I will grow weary and I will lose heart. So your works will reap a harvest, but if bad, destroy it. So my hope is today that we'll become a people that ultimately reaps a good harvest. Amen? Amen. Verse 10 is our last verse for today, or for this series. So then, while we have opportunity, let's do good to all people. Not some people, but all people. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do good to all people, but especially in the camp. And that's super important to understand, is that, yeah, we have responsibility to all people, but guess what? We need to make sure we're all good in the camp. Making sure that we are taking care of each other so we can be healthy enough to take care of people outside the camp. Make sense? So thus, the importance of everybody doing what? Bearing their load, being fully engaged, doing their part, small or great, so everybody could be taken care of, so we could be a more effective church going into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ into the next generation. That's the only way possible, church, is that we have to be vibrant and healthy and engaged relationally, right, responsible to our individual loads. And we will turn this world upside down or right side up. Amen? Amen? Amen. There was a soldier whose fiance did something miraculous or heroic. It says in the 17th century, Oliver Cromwell, the Lord Protector of England, sentenced a soldier to be shot for his crimes. The execution was to take place at the ringing of the evening curfew bell. However, the bell did not sound. The soldier's fiance had climbed into the bell tower and clung to the tongue of the bell to prevent it from striking. Cromwell summons, he says, the fiance to account for her actions. And she stood before him and wept bitterly and openly, showed him all of her bruises that came from hanging on to the tongue of the bell. And this is how Cromwell responded. It says, his heart was touched and said, "Your lover should live because of your sacrifice. Curfew should not ring tonight." Do you realize there are people around you that there's a curfew bell that's about to ring? Will we sacrifice ourselves and hold on to the tongue of the bell so curfew doesn't ring for someone in your life? In other words, your service or your good works in the kingdom is like clinging to the bell. Love covers a multitude of sin. The word cover means it gives God time. This is what it's all about. Serving in the church isn't just to say, "Oh, I have a position." And no, man, it's to give people time to recognize their sinful state and turn to Jesus. That's what it's about, man. It's about seeing a transformational work in people's lives so that, listen, that young mothers and young fathers and children you will never know won't have to suffer like you did one day. The question is it worth it enough to you for you to cling to it? Because it was worth, you were worth enough for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful because Jesus clung to the tongue of the bell for us. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will speak to us, inspire us, provoke us to do the same for others. Lord, there's people dying around us. There's relationships that are decaying around us. God, help us cling to the tongue of the bell to give you time to move in people's lives. Let our service to one another, our service in the world, our kingdom work, this good work you've called us to, let it be something so impactful that it gives you space and time to draw someone to yourself and see their lives transformed as you have so graciously done in ours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the Administrative and Executive Director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means Weekly Inspiration, Refreshment, and Encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Cedric with another Weekly Wire. I remember when my children were younger, I had the responsibility to make space for them in the backyard. And this meant that I had to chop down some trees. So thank God I did not have to chop them down by hand or saw them by hand. So I pulled out my trusty chainsaw and I began to remove some of those trees, making space for my children as they were younger and can just enjoy the backyard with more space. But inevitably, what happened was this, is that that chainsaw blade would eventually grow dull. And then I had to begin to exert more energy, put more effort into it than probably I even wanted to. And at the end of the day, I had to make two choices, either replace the chainsaw chain or stay there and meticulously make sure that each blade is sharpened so that it can penetrate the trunk of the tree and of course chop it down very smoothly. Well, there's a Bible verse in the scriptures that talks about if the axe head is dull, you would have to exert more energy unless he chooses to sharpen it. So it's kind of like myself chopping down these trees, or maybe even like yourself. You're going through life trying to chop down trees, making space for yourself, making space for your family, making space for yourself on the job or in your home or whatever it may be. But it seems like you're exerting so much energy and time. And I would say to you, could it be that your axe head is dull? Well, the author in that passage goes on to say that wisdom brings success. So it's kind of like this. Wisdom is that sharpening of the axe head. If you lack wisdom, chances are the axe head will be dull. You would have to then exert more energy, right? The scriptures also say that he who lacks wisdom, ask it of the Lord and he will give it to you generously. So let me kind of connect those for you. So if you choose to ask God for wisdom, he then gives you the supernatural ability to sharpen your axe head, right? So that you can go through life not exerting all that energy and wasting all that time. So the next time you feel as though that you're exerting so much energy, you're wasting so much time and effort, could it be that your axe head is dull? Could it be that you need to humble yourself and ask God for wisdom that he may sharpen your axe head so that you may be able to progress through life unhindered, unrestrained, not frustrated, not exerting energy that maybe you shouldn't waste.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, a teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. We hope you remain engaged in this series as our pastoral team teaches us that there are good works God has prepared for his children, while creating the space for those who respond to confidently walk in them. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.